This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tomorrow and Wednesday, we will be coming to you from Clearwater. If you are in Clearwater or be in Clearwater, we will be up at the broadcast from the Tiki Bar. What is the stadium called now, today?
BayCare Ballpark.
BayCare. Oh, so that's what it was last year. Okay.
Yeah, they haven't changed in a couple of years,
wow.
Which is good.
I haven't been there in...
Well, I think it started, Bright House Networks Field?
Yep.
And then it went to, Spectrum? Or not, I think it was Spectrum, and then, yeah, I think they've been BayCare for a little bit.
Bro, I go back to Jack Russell.
Well, Jack Russell was, yeah. A long time home.
Yeah. Let's get to everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, could we?
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
There's a lot of awful portions of Twitter that are incredibly annoying, but one resurfaced again this weekend and was simply out of control that we will get to at number one with the top five at five worst versions of Twitter. Now, number five has been going on really since they won the Super Bowl, which is the one up on how happy you are, Twitter. Like, oh, you're so happy.
Oh, this is aimed at one particular person, is it not? Is it aimed at one James Seltzer?
Well, it's Seltzer. It's people like Seltzer, you know, where it's like, oh, everything they do is the best day of my life. But everyone, it's a lot of one-upping. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Rod Thompson got the nickname Topper. Because he topped everyone's stories, allegedly.
Oh, really? Is that what the nickname comes from?
Yeah, allegedly.
I didn't know. That's actually funny.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what Twitter sometimes gets. It's topping, you know, how happy everyone is.
You still see this? You still see the topping each other
but
now?
It's toned down, but okay. It reminded me of it.
Okay.
Yeah, during that time.
Yeah.
Which I know you love. You love thirsty Twitter.
I hate thirsty Twitter, but I also take Twitter as too much now, too.
Oh, that's a part of it.
I hate all of it.
It's all bad. It's all bad.
Yeah.
Topping one up on how happy you are, Twitter, is one up how detrimental everything is, Twitter. Well, this is a big one, whether it's political, sports. This is the worst thing of all time.
Everything's the end of the world. Yes.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. Everything's going to be fine.
Everyone's going to be okay.
Shut up. Go to work. Take care of your family.
Go outside.
Log off.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Third worst version of Twitter. Now, it usually mostly happens after the first round of any draft you're on. But the, this guy drafted in the fourth round, but I know he's a steal. You know, where they break, I love this pick by whatever team. It can be the Phillies, Eagles. The after first round draft Twitter, where they like to prove how much quote unquote tape they've watched. Very annoying.
You consume too much Twitter, I think.
Well, it's part of the job.
Yeah.
You act like you're never on Twitter.
I am on Twitter, but not nearly as much as you.
Well, it's been a part of my life for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the post first round, boy, this guy's just, everybody's a steal after the first round.
Oh, dude, this guy is a steal a draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens having the hockey draft. You know, they have Bill Matz go on and talk about how this guy's a steal in the eighth round.
Wow, taking a shot at Mr. Ava Graham over there?
Benedict Graham.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's what we call him around the building.
Well, I got to go get a job. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I can do it for the Phillies. No one else can. The second worst version of Twitter is the old takes exposed Twitter, where it's like, you remember you said this 4 years ago, you freaking idiot.
They still do that?
Yeah, it's toned down a little bit.
This didn't age well.
Oh, didn't age well. If you want to, send me through the roof. That's why I don't even tweet in the first half of Eagles games anymore. Unless I'm tweeting they're going to win by double digits. Because the
Mike's right. You're on Twitter too much.
See, thank you very much.
I've gotten better.
But I do understand the whole not tweeting something because somebody's going to bring it back up.
Yeah. You remember he's the idiot.
What?
Well, stop making declarations in the first half of a game.
Well, that's what I don't do it anymore. It's part of it is personal growth.
See, my thing with the way I think Twitter should be, now I never use Snapchat.
But, I don't even know,
yeah, but what I understood Snapchat to be is you would say something and then the message would disappear after a certain amount of time. Right. I feel like the thing that is fun about Twitter when things are going on is you reacting in the moment, this is how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God, this was, they feel like they're going to win or they're going to lose, blah, blah, blah. Not to have somebody look at the way that you felt 3 hours ago and say, boy, were you wrong about that. Because here's, is like when you're sitting and watching the game with your friends, everybody will say that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's a natural reaction you have throughout the course of a game.
It just comes and goes and it's whatever. It's not like you don't have to be held to the standard of what you thought was going to happen in the game in the middle of the first quarter. You were wrong. Of course you're wrong. Most people are wrong about everything.
No, you're right. If you're just, and see, this is why you got to quit looking at Twitter as much. And so you don't put as much stock into it. Because Spike is right. Think about this. If you're just watching a game with a group of people, everybody isn't sitting there saying, oh, don't worry, we're going to be okay, we'll win.
Right,
like,
yes.
That's not happening during a game.
When you're losing.
That's not happening.
That was one of the funniest parts about this Eagles season. Remember how horrible they were in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Everyone thought they were going to lose every game.
Yeah, it was a slow start every week, yes.
And it didn't matter. And they start blowing teams out in the second half.
No, you're right. Yeah. Those people get on my nerves, too. I don't get it until basketball season, though.
I get a lot of that
during Sixers season, which is kind of why I don't tweet as much during Sixers games.
Exactly. Yeah. To me,
it's less about tweeting less and more about not reading them as much.
Not reading them, yes. It's because you can tweet and just not care what anybody says, but don't go on your mentions.
Yeah. You can.
That's hard to do, though.
Oh, borderline impossible.
Yeah.
Well, it's not impossible.
Well, it is difficult.
For you, it is.
Well,
yes.
Hold on. Now, to be fair, I don't reply. I see them.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, that's growth right there. That's the thing. Yes.
One member of this show likes getting into Twitter battles.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah,
but that's why I've laid off.
Right.
Because I know myself, and I know I will reply back. Like, the only fight that Jack will get in, his response is when somebody says something like crappy to him, he'll just go, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just passive aggressive.
Just to see
why?
You suck. Why?
Yeah.
My goal is always to make somebody feel bad for what they say. It's when they go, not when they disagree, but when they go overboard about something like, you know,
face for radio.
They get mad about something.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
See, like me and you could be the same. Meaning that if we reply, you ain't going to like when we reply.
Yes.
Yeah, we're coming for the jugular. Yeah,
you're looking for the kill.
I used to, when somebody would insult how I looked, I would just go to their profile and go, oh, yeah, well, you're bald and fat.
Yeah.
Like, show them a picture of themselves.
Yes.
And now you just do that when you're driving, right?
Yes. You mean when somebody cuts me off
and I
tell them, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, rather than giving the finger, pick out something ugly about the person who cut you off, scream it at them, and then drive away.
Practice what you preach. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But the number one worst version of Twitter. This is 10 years running. I feel like, you know, so I've been doing the top five, but it came back out this weekend. Is far and away wrestling Twitter. And this weekend.
Oh, you hate wrestling.
Did you see John Cena turn heel? I didn't see it coming.
Oh my God. It's a big moment.
It's all, like, who cares?
He's been face for 20 years.
You're not 12. Oh my goodness. John Cena, did you see it? Ew.
You see, he turned on Cody Rhodes.
Oh, how could you do it? Oh, it's unbelievable. I can't believe in his last match in the Elimination Chamber.
I know. I saw it. I stayed away from it. And only in part, so I'm a boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys didn't watch the fight this weekend.
I didn't even know there was a fight.
I know. Yeah. Tank Davis was fighting this weekend against Lamont Roach. And it was a majority draw, which I've never seen before in my life, a draw,
okay.
A majority draw. So out of the three judges, two of them ruled a draw, but one gave Tank a 115-113.
Oh, so two people ruled it a draw. And only one person ruled that somebody won, and that person didn't win.
No.
Oh, my God.
And he's undefeated. He's 30-0.
Oh. So,
and it was a sort of a controversial decision a little bit, you know. But I couldn't get into Twitter with it because I'm like, everybody that follows me are Eagles fans, Sixers fans, Phillies fans. I don't have any boxing fans that follow me.
Yes.
I don't have anybody. And you know why else I didn't do it? Because UFC was on. So I would have got the whole, the real sport is UFC. Nobody cares about boxing.
Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't even tweet about the fight. It was a good fight, though.
You didn't tweet about John Cena turning heel?
No, but I saw it.
Yeah. Oh, it was unbelievable theater.
I saw it.
My wife and I used to watch. My wife loves wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really watch anymore. There's too much on and whatever.
Yep.
But I don't dislike wrestling. I'll watch wrestling. Wrestling is fine. I don't really know what's going on anymore. But
the story, the storylines.
Yeah.
And stuff
but I do know Cody Rhodes is pretty much at the top of it right now, and John Cena turning into a bad guy is a big thing. So I understood that. It's right when, but most of the wrestling people, it's every Monday Night Raw.
Right.
All they do is criticize how WWE books the matches. Like, they all know the best way to do it. But then I think I do the same thing with sports. So whatever. I'm just not that interested in it.
So that's a bigger turn than, that's not a bigger turn than Hogan turning heel, right?
I think it's sort of equal.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Cena's been, I would think, the biggest consistent good guy for, I mean, it's been
a long time.
Two decades at least, I think.
Yeah.
So that's a big moment.
Yeah, when I was playing, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember jorts, right?
Yes, and I remember when he first came out, he had this whole rapper bit when he came out, so I don't know if he was a bad guy or a good guy when he came out, but he's not a guy that's bounced back and forth like The Rock has,
right.
Or, you know, so yeah, it's a big moment. I'm sorry,
I saw The Rock there in the ring, too. Is The Rock back in wrestling?
He's there once a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Once or twice a year, yeah. Yeah, when he wants a check.
You smell what The Rock is cooking.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, that's entertainment.
So you hate wrestling?
Yeah.
Do you like watching it if you didn't hear it? Oh, really?
I've turned it on a couple of times. Like, all right, am I a hater?
A little bit. You're a little bit of a hater on
it.
Well. It's kind of fun.
I like the old school wrestling.
Well, I'm
an 80s wrestler, man.
Oh, yeah, come on.
And then you turned 13 or 14.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Yep. It was around that time.
Ricky Steamboat.
Ooh. Yeah, those were the wrestlers,
Tito Santana.
British Bulldogs,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, Paul Orndorff.
Yeah. Wait.
Mr. Wonderful.
That's Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah. Who was,
Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Hennig, yeah.
Kurt Hennig.
I was going to say Chad Hennig.
Yes, Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Hennig.
This hour is sponsored by Kaida Door and Window. Get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 6 years to pay it off interest-free. What? Call Kaida Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Jack, this first one, there's no name there.
My bad.
You know who that is.
Chuck.
It's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Chuck.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, man. Hey, listen, hey, Ike, what's up, buddy?
Happy birthday, brother.
Hey, man, you know what? Just another day. Another day. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
Man, I had to call up on my birthday to the best show on sports radio.
Yeah,
there we go.
That's what I love to hear, Chuck.
It's getting so much better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Best caller calling the best show. That's what we got.
Hey, listen, Spike, listen. Let me say this, man. You know, I'm going to get Joel and be in a second, right? But I want to say this, right? I watched that fight this weekend, right? And Roach got robbed.
He did. And I don't know if he got robbed, Chuck, but it certainly could have gone. I could have seen him winning that fight by decision. It was a toss-up.
Yeah, you know what? I look at it like this, too. Like, to beat the champ, you got to really, like, beat it.
Right.
Kansas City.
Right.
You know, they took it out the ref's hands. You can't, you know what I mean, leave it in the ref's hands at all. So,
yep.
I get that part of it. It's politics. But, man, I tell you, when he took that knee, you know, that's the point that should have been taken.
Should have been a standing eight count. Yep.
Exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, hopefully they'll do it again. But, listen, hey, Spike, I'm trying to tell you, we're all Sixers fans, right?
Yep.
And you know, I feel sorry for Joel Embiid. I really do. Sometimes I come off as being, what's the word I'm looking for? Not considerate, or, you know, just not thinking about the next man, having some empathy. You know what I mean? I'm not having empathy in the situation. So I'm going to give you a little empathy in the situation, right? I feel sorry for the guy. I truly do. You know what I mean? I didn't want it to end like this. And I'm not going around tooting my horn saying, yeah, I told you so, because the guy's injured. You probably really want to get out there and play. I get it. I don't like the guy, but I can have a little bit more empathy. I get that. But what I'm saying is this, right? We are all Sixers fans. And Joel Embiid had a good career here. You know what I mean? You know, you guys love him. He had a good career here. I get that to him. He had some moments here. But all things come to an end. All good things come to an end. So I'm trying to look for solutions to get my franchise, our franchise, back to the level they're supposed to be sooner than later. And that solution is, you know, it's easy to say flip the page from Joel. But there's a solution out there.
What's that?
That this team can take. And that is the medical retirement.
Okay, so
they have to file a petition. If they could file a petition next year, if Joel is not ready to go next year by the 22nd, which is the last time he played, they can file a petition with the NBA, and the NBPA would get involved, Spike, and they would assign the 76ers an independent doctor.
Yep.
They would examine Joel's knee.
Yep.
If they can't deem him to go, then he would be forced to retire. If he can come back, he'll be able to come back if we're still on the contract.
Well, no,
but he would have to file a petition.
Well, so it's close. They can file for a medical retirement, but to do that, to approve it, they'd have to. He would be waived if it goes through. So he couldn't come back with the Sixers. He would have to come back with somebody else, which is fine. You don't care. But that's fine. Whatever. The problem with it is if the player is actively trying to come back and believes that he could come back, then it's very tough to get medical retirement approved. Now, it would be great. It would clear him off the cap. He would get paid out whatever he wanted, whatever. It's a lot easier if the player is willing, or the union will fight it. You know, if he wants to come back, if he thinks he wants to come back, it's not easy. That's all I would say.
Well, he could never play again.
He could. So the way it would happen is he would get paid out, he would get waived. And then there would be a certain amount of time, and he could come back if he felt like he could come back. But I guess what I'm saying is, I believe the Chris Bosh one, he didn't approve, but that was a different thing. It was like a heart issue, a knee issue. I'm just saying, if a team could do it, the Wizards would have done it with John Wall. They would have done it. There have been opportunities for teams to do it. It is a lot easier, a lot, lot, lot easier if Joel Embiid plays along and wants to retire along with the Sixers. So it's not as easy a solution, I think, as you're painting it.
The timing has to add up, Spike. You know what I mean? Sometimes with those other guys, the timing, you have to be out for a year, calendar year.
I know.
From your last game.
I know, but if he has, but here's the thing, Chuck, just to move this forward. Let's say he has one of those surgeries where it's a 12-month recovery. Well, then, by the time we're at a year, he's just going to be starting to get back. And if he plays even one game, then you have to wait another year. And if he thinks he can play, I promise you he's going to try to play, and you can't stop him from playing. You can't. So it's I understand what you're saying. It's just more complicated than you're laying it out, especially if he wants to play.
If he has surgery this offseason, you're telling me he'll be ready by the beginning of next year?
No. Here's the thing. What I'm telling you is, if he has surgery, right, and there's an 8 to 12 month recovery, then just at this point next year, would he be ready to even try to come back again? And if he's actively trying to come back, then the doctor's not going to say that he can't play basketball anymore.
With his work history, his work ethic, I don't believe he'll be back. If he has surgery like right now, I don't think he'll be back by next year, by February next year. That's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, if it works out that way, Chuck, if it works out that way, it's best for all parties. If he can't play anymore, the Sixers apply for medical retirement. That is the best way. But I'm just telling you, he's going to try to come back. He's going to play at least one game, which will set the clock back another year. I guarantee.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to find solutions, man. At this point, I don't give a damn about what Joel did 4 or 5 years
there
ago.
There he is.
Okay? You know what I'm saying? I'm serious, man. Like, it is what it is. Like, this has to come to an end, man. Like, because the only people that's suffering is us as fans. I can't even cheer for my team no more. I haven't watched the Sixers game in God knows when. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, I'm fed up with this, man. I would like just to see this thing start over. And everybody will give Josh Harris a hard time. But Josh Harris, you know, is the only guy that can get us out of this situation if he do this the right way. And I pray to God, I pray to God that Magic Johnson is talking to Joshua Harris. Because he's a smart basketball mind, and he knows what's best for the team. And I hope they built a connection where, as though he's not just focused on the Commanders, but he actually telling, listen, your basketball team over there, they're sinking. And this is what you need to do to get this team afloat, to try to build this thing the right way. I'm looking for solutions at this point. The days of being angry, the days of wondering if Joel's going to come back and be Super Joel again, that's over, y'all. That's over, man. It's time to start building this thing the right way. And I trade Tyrese Maxey. I never said I thought I'd say it out of my mouth. But I'm starting from scratch. I'm letting everybody go.
All right,
Coach,
Chuck.
Chuck, you might not.
Trainer, the old fans, everybody, go. That's from the old regime, go. You know what I mean? Daryl Moore, everybody. So we can start this thing fresh, man. That's all. I just want a fresh start, man. But y'all have a good day, man.
You too, brother. Happy birthday, man.
All right, Chuck. Happy birthday, man. For Chuck's birthday, we're going to get medical retirement for Joel Embiid. I wish it was that easy.
Seem like it's that easy.
No, because if he plays even one game next year, which I imagine
like you
he
said,
will.
Restarts the clock.
Restarts the clock. And every time he wants to come back, you can't. The players' union's not going to let you say, no, you can't come back.
Right.
He's really going to be able to not. I don't think he could get it right now, but because he can certainly get on the court, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well. There's some new rumors on Myles Garrett. We'll talk about that next. Mm-hmm. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And with it, let me say, hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I'm so far down.
The WIP Afternoon Show. Like Spike and Fritz. Ooh.
Clearwater ready for that?
Yeah. Tiki Bar tomorrow.
Oh. Do you think we can get all of left field singing in the middle of an inning?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's 5:30.
Yeah, the game's going to be over.
Hour. Yeah, they'll be ready to go.
We could definitely get them going.
Yeah, they'll be ready.
The Tiki Bar at 5:30 after a Phil's game? There's going to be some middle-aged women ready for that moment.
Yeah, baby. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Wednesday's going to be sad. Wednesday's going to be a cold, rainy.
Right, we'll just be yelling in the broadcast booth.
Yes.
Someone's going to tell us to shut up.
Tuesday will be fun, though.
Tomorrow will be fun.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. In fact, is this a World Series or bust year for the Phillies? The number has gone up 77.1%, yes. Let's go. High expectations. Man. That's what I like. Jack wants high hopes. I want high expectations. There's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're a high hopes guy. I'm a high expectations guy.
Excited to be there.
And this is my thing on Bryce.
Great. Oh, I forgot about this.
All right.
Thought we was going to get out of here without it.
Well, just he's a great player. I want to see him be a great leader this year. I want him to set the example for everyone else on that team. I don't want to hear one more time that we need a Saquon or we need a Pete Rose or we need a Moses Malone to kick everyone's ass in gear. this is what this guy is here to do. He's the best player on the team. He works hard. He cares. All those things. If we can spend an offseason talking about how Jalen Hurts needs to, you know, be more vocal in the locker room and be more of a leader, we can say the same thing about Bryce Harper. We absolutely can. He's a great player, but I've never gotten a sense from him that he leads and everyone else follows. That's not what I've gotten a sense from him. The sense from him I've gotten as quiet leader, goes in, does his job, cares, all that kind of stuff. But this team needs somebody to kick everyone's ass a little bit. This team needs somebody to hold everyone else accountable. This team needs somebody to say to Alec Bohm when he is crying in the dugout when the team is winning that you have to stop crying. And
well, he was talking to him, to be fair.
He had his arm around him.
Well, what do you want to do?
I just, like...
See, this is why I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because this is who Bryce is. And I was one that got on a soapbox about this very thing about Jalen.
Right.
It's not Jalen.
But Jalen moved.
Did he really?
Well, I mean.
I mean, you brought in a guy like Saquon, and that helped. I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I understand what you're saying, and that's why I said I was one who was yelling for that from Jalen. It's just not who he is.
Then I don't think they have any.
They're more leader by example type of guys than they are.
It's not that I need him knocking over tables
sure,
in the clubhouse.
I understand that. I just
like somebody there. Like, this is his legacy at stake. Ultimately, no one's going to look back and look at whether Kyle Schwarber did this or Trey Turner did that. These guys aren't all-time players. They're good players, right? There's a bunch. Zach Wheeler is the only other all-time player on this team right now.
Yep.
So it's just like it's his legacy, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, because you're putting him in like. This guy's a face of the sport kind of guy. Because my pushback would be, no one asked Chase Utley to be the face of the Phillies. And he had Jimmy
to do it, yeah.
But what if he didn't have Jimmy?
Well, then the team, I know.
Right.
But they did. Like, and Bryce's have Schwarber.
Right.
And I think like Schwarber's the leader of the team.
But Schwarber's not that guy either. Schwarber's not that guy either.
In what aspect?
In the aspect of, hey, this is not acceptable. Like, sucking for 3 months is not acceptable.
He's definitely more of the, like, not trying to put too much pressure on guys guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are a bunch of good guys who are insistent on not putting pressure on each other. And where is that's gotten us, you know, like, declining results every year. I'm just looking for somebody in that clubhouse to do something.
Well, it's like, but it's...
No, I feel you there. I that's why I say I know exactly what you're saying. I just don't think that's Bryce's personality.
Well, I guess like, all right, and not to make it about, because I know that this is what I feel like people would say to you, right?
Yep.
Because this is what they do to me. They're like, we don't do the same for Embiid.
But I agree.
No,
but,
I know.
Yeah, but I agree on Embiid. I agree on Embiid. I agree.
But Embiid also hasn't changed. Like, Embiid is just...
Yes, and he will be remembered as a great player who is a failure ultimately. Who didn't come through in the biggest spots and didn't lead the way that he was supposed to. This is the problem with, like, the best player doesn't always need to be the leader on the team, but he's got to be one of the best players. Like, it's not like a role player. That's not who it can be. And I just don't know who else is going to take this team, like, by the collar and say, it's fine if we don't win. But we can't go down losing the same way that we've lost for three consecutive years.
Do you want to be Casty?
I wouldn't mind if it was Casty.
See, let me throw this at you. Let me throw this at you. Because he definitely has a personality to do it.
Yes.
It's just that he goes through these ebbs and flows of the season where he can only do it when he's playing well. Like, he can't do it when he's not playing well. Devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
To a lesser degree, and not exactly what you're looking for, AJ is kind of that way, and that ruffles feathers when he's that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AJ, he'll tell you, it's about holding each other accountable. We're not going to always get along. Like, that's sort of what AJ is on the Eagles team, right? And then they brought in somebody like a Saquon who can sort of balance that out, and it allows Jalen to just be the leader by example, which is how he rolls. That's he would much rather roll that way versus being. I just think with these athletes today, no one wants to be that guy. Like, that's the stuff Kobe got ripped for being a bad teammate. It's funny because when he was in the midst of being that guy, it was nobody wants to go play with Kobe Bryant
because
he was so demanding. Well, that's his personality. That's how he was. And to your point, I think the players that wound up thriving with Kobe, they needed to be pushed that way. They needed to be pushed that way. Whereas some guys don't want to be pushed, and you can rub them the wrong way.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what these athletes today, with these guys, man, everybody has their own brand. Everybody has their own agenda. And you can't really constructively criticize anybody. Like, you can't get on anybody. Like, when I was playing, guys got in your face all the time. I mean, guys got in your face. Someone going well, you know, a guy like Jeremiah Trotter is going to say it, right? You know, guys like that are going to say it. John Runyon is going to say it. Didn't care about – John Runyon used to always get in trouble with Andy because he'd be like, well, we just run the football. Basically, because he knew that – I mean, you know, he would say that in the media. And think Andy liked that? I just don't think today's athletes – I don't know many – that really lead that way. If I think about all the stars in the sports today, what leader sort of, what star player sort of leads that way?
Like Brady was probably the last one.
Well, Brady was probably the last one. He's right.
Can I pick a smaller thing here?
Mm-hmm.
Hitting second.
Like, I agree.
You know, like, it's not your favorite thing.
Right.
But it gives you a little license to side-eye somebody who in the third game swings at the first pitch when the pitcher's thrown seven straight balls.
Right.
Because you are compromising as well. Mm-hmm. If Bryce Harper can take a walk, if Bryce Harper can hit second where he's not comfortable, then all of a sudden we can ask Schwarber to hit cleanup. And we can ask, you know, Castellanos to hit sixth instead of fifth.
Right.
And maybe I don't want...
I can understand. I
haven't been here for this whole era with you guys. Mm. But what I am terrified of is I don't want this era to die in a whimper. The Sixers era is about to die in a whimper, right? This very slow death of falling apart. Here they are where they're not. Not all these guys are in their prime, but they're not in their post-prime, right? They're at the tail end of their prime.
Yeah.
They can still produce.
Yeah.
I don't want this era to be looked at as like, well, if we had just done A, or if we had just done B, if we had just done C. And I just want somebody, and the reason I look at Bryce is because he's the best player, but I just want somebody in there who's not going to be Rob Thompson, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be JT. Mm-hmm. And I want somebody to just go in there and say, why don't we, this year, just try all the things that everyone says we should try?
See, here's why I 100% agree with you. That, in theory... But you just mentioned who it should be, and he's not going to do it either. It's Rob Thompson. That's what managers are put in that position to do. They should be the bad guy.
Right.
Right? Like, because the player has to worry about getting along with his teammates and this and that and the other. Like, the manager, you can't be worried about being liked by everybody. I understand you got to manage the clubhouse, and these are your guys. But if you're consistent, they will respect it. They will respect you. And what you're trying to get them to do. I believe Rob Thompson, they're going to have to wind up getting a manager that isn't afraid to do that.
Well, and it doesn't mean you have to undress somebody in front of everyone else.
Right.
Hey, Trey, you got a minute? Hey, what are you doing? You know, two guys just walked in a row, and on four pitches and five pitches, he swung, at the first two pitches.
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, look how Sirianni changed this year, right? Like, they went through the longer practices. All the players talk about how he put them through the ringer. Like, that has to be the evolution of a manager.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got it in him.
I agree.
By the way, another point that should have kept me high up on the inside of the Eagle.
Nonsense, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was right about the harder practices.
You wanted that.
You were. You do get, maybe you'll see your way back into the rankings this week. All right, 215-592-9494.
I'm just saying, there's another reason why.
Are you going to, when we give away the award, are you going to protest?
Yeah, I'm that dude that's going to be complaining the whole time.
Yep. William in Deptford, you're on WIP. William in Deptford, I had such high hopes for you. High expectations as well.
Jack let us down again.
Yeah, I kept him on hold.
He was so aggressive when he called.
Yeah. Just maybe he's still there.
Ran
maybe.
Out of steam.
Justin Tennessee, you're on WIP. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Justin!
Man, I tell you what, it's been like 2 weeks since I've got the call. I've been working 12-hour shifts, so I go in at 7. I don't get off till 7, so it's just, you know how busy I've been, man. I've been busier than that one-legged man ice kicking contest. But
there it is.
Yep.
First thing I want to hit on is that movie, The Substance. Let me tell you, that is the worst dadgum movie I've ever seen in my life. That's 2 hours and 20 minutes of my life. I'll never get back. That movie sucked the back half. It was so bad. It was trash, thinking trash. I mean, if you want movie recommendations, just hit me up, you know, on Twitter, DM me, or something like that, like Spike said. But anyway, going to this Bryce thing, this is what it kind of reminds me of, because I've kind of heard, I'm not sure if it was Jack or a caller, things are running together, but like the extension that he's wanting, and people are saying like, well, maybe if they give him the extension, he'll do it. You know,
yeah,
what
Spike reported that last week.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It's like when Jason Peters moved to left guard because Andre Dillard was going to be the left tackle. And then Andre Dillard gets hurt, and they're like, well, he's going to move back out to left tackle. He's a team guy. And we find out the only reason he done it is because they gave him more money. It's not a good optic. You know, I like Bryce. Bryce is one of my favorite baseball players to watch. But and I'm not saying it's like that, but it's not a good optic as well either, because – it's like everybody said, you got to change stuff up, man. You can't go back into the season with the same thing. You know, Jack was so frustrated last week, and then they put Bryce in it too. And, you know, I mean, just try something else, you know. I mean, don't be so dug in, you know. It's a bad optic in my opinion. If you can lead off with Trey, then with Bryce, then go Bowman, then Schwarber, I don't see what the big deal is. But am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I mean, we were all so pissed at Peters when Dillard
yes.
got hurt,
yep.
and everybody's like, I think it was Doug. He's a team guy. You know, he came in, and he asked to do it. Yeah, he asked to do it, but he asked for a dadgum raise, too. And we were all pissed. And it doesn't look good, in my opinion. But hey, what do I know? But I want to give y'all a recommendation. You're going to love this. And Spike, okay. too, because we're all close to the same age. I don't know if y'all watch that Nothing But Smoke podcast, but I seen some clips, and I went back and watched it. Boys, they had Vernon Maxwell on there, and he was telling the story
yes.
about when Dream slapped him, and I reckon he slapped the taste out of his mouth. And him telling that story, man, I swear to God, I watched it twice. I have laughed my hind end
yeah.
off. It was hilarious. I did not know Vernon Maxwell was so daggum funny. But that's one of the best episodes of that thing I've ever seen. I don't watch them all, but when they get these older guys on there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like the old guys, you know, Bird and Vernon Maxwell. And
Maxwell is a great storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
He is. When he was telling that story about, he kind of, when Dream hit me, and he got that raspy voice, he said, Dream hit me. He said, what'd you do? He said, I didn't have much I could do. Anyway. It was hilarious. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but y'all need to watch it. But anyway, it's been a long time since I got the call, but I've got a good excuse. Working 12 hours puts a cramp on my style. But, hey, I'm back today. I'm going to get off here. Oh, and did you watch the combine night? Did you see James Pierce run that 4.47?
I did not.
250
Shut
pounds.
His hole!
Oh, no, Jack. We still celebrating. I'm as happy as a puppy with two Peters. Don't know what to do with either one of them because we're Super Bowl champions, boys. I'll get off here and let this go. I love you. I mean.
All right, Justin.
All right, Justin.
There he is. All right. The
I did not watch the combine.
Yeah. You'd be psycho to watch that. William
watch
in Deptford, you're on WIP.
I didn't know my name was William.
Because it's right up there on the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Bryce Harper. He's going to have a great season this year.
Okay.
More home runs than Shohei Ohtani ever had in his lifetime. 70.
Bryce is going to hit 70 home runs this year?
Yep.
Whew. What else you got?
He ain't going to hurt his arm either. I cried when he had food poisoning.
You cry when he had poop on his arm?
No, food poisoning.
Oh, food poisoning.
Why?
He's my man. I got his jersey on as we speak.
Did you ask how I knew your name?
Yep.
This is Bank Park.
When did Bryce Harper get food poisoning? Well,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, from the raw milk.
Well. Why'd you cry, though, William?
Because I love Bryce Harper.
Oh, wow.
Me too, buddy.
What do you love the most about Bryce Harper?
I love the way he hit the grand salami.
Is this a bit?
What's your name?
That's Jeff.
I'm Hugh.
Yeah, Hugh. Your name is? Hugh Joe. And I'm also Joe.
Yeah,
yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God, Hugh.
Yep.
How you been, man?
Been good, man.
I love the Eagles. How about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl?
How about that? Go Birds.
Isn't that something?
Hey, isn't Hugh Douglas the best former Eagle on WIP?
Huh?
It's
Hugh Douglas from the Eagles. E-A-G-O-E-S, Eagles.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Does Hugh do anything for us?
E-A-G-O-E-S, Eagles.
William, why don't you rank these former Eagles from best to worst? Hugh Douglas, John Ritchie, Ike Reese. Who's the best out of those three?
Hugh Douglas.
Yep.
And yeah, far and away, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been wanting a great picture of Hugh Douglas and you.
And me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you send it to my place in the nursing home?
Yes.
Oh, you're in a nursing home.
Can you give me my address?
Oh, no.
Now this, don't do that.
Now this goes. Yeah.
This went totally.
Yeah, we're going to put you on hold.
Man.
You're going to get his address, and we're going to send him an autographed Hugh picture.
I blame you.
Yeah, I blame Jack for that one. I blame Jack for that one.
Description.
It just said this could be really funny or really bad.
And how would you describe it?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Get his address. We got to send him some autographed pictures.
Yep.
All right.
Now, do we send him an autograph picture of me
of Hugh? We actually sent an autograph picture of Hugh that you signed.
Oh, well, Hugh loves signing autographs.
Yes, he's very big on autographs. All right.
Wow.
The text line is
he related to Herb?
We got to get him, Herb, Mr. Shorehands on the line at the same time. The text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square.
I still think it might have been a fake caller. I'm just letting everyone
know. Online at BenariJewelers.com. The moment there was when he said food poisoning, and I goes, when he got poop on his arm. Here's the text line.
Text line.
Great question today. Oh. I wish that cameras were never invented. The picture of Ike with his underwear pulled over his sweat.
What? Why did that come up today?
Wait, yeah, what was that? Wishes the cameras were never invented.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of how that ties in.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. I don't know.
Love having deep voice Luke on the text line again.
It worked, yeah.
Yes. What's next?
We wish Spike was a better singer, too. Afternoon show listeners, when Spike sings over the rejoins.
Yep. Sorry. Can't help myself. Unless there's a directive from management, I'm going to have a hard time not doing that. What's next?
Spike. You know, Isaiah Rogers is just not tough. Spike, okay. 5 minutes earlier.
There we go.
Little League wasn't fun because the other team had guys that were bigger than me and their dad played baseball too. Alex in Lancaster.
It's very fair.
That's a fair point there.
It's very fair. Also, I'm not playing for the Eagles though. So, what's next?
Spike on the Phillies.
Oh boy.
This team needs to be a championship team or it's on Bryce.
Here it comes.
Spike on the Sixers.
Yep.
How much does Joel have to do? When will Tyrese Maxey step up? Frank in Ardmore.
Yep. Text line's coming from my throat today.
Yeah. That was a fair one.
Yes. I think I've had a pretty reasonable show, and I didn't expect all of this. I'm a little scared to go to the next one. Why don't we just end No, all right, what's next?
Do you love white people music from decades ago and have a friend from another delegation? Does that friend always say, "Do I know them?" when you bring it up? Join Ike Reese and Spike Eskin for the new Odyssey podcast, You'd Know It If You Heard It. Tim in Newark.
That's very funny.
That's
actually
a good one, yes.
Yeah.
That person pays a lot of attention to this.
Yes, yes.
That's a good one. Well, there are plenty of songs that I don't know the name of.
Yeah, same of them. Yeah. Same. That is funny. We never get to it. We never play it. We never find out. It's just sort of the end. Do we have Fritz at six tonight, or is this, once again, Jack Fritz? Oh, no. Do we have Fritz at six?
No, I got Deeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, you off?
Yeah.
Why?
Jack's always off.
Huh?
On Mondays. It's Fridays.
Wow, this guy's negotiating mid-deal.
Exactly.
Jack's going to keep having kids till Fritz at six is gone.
One day at a time.
One kid, one day. All right. Tom Kelly's next.
Teeks!
You know Teeks will bring the fire.
And he didn't sing with us.
He didn't.
And he's been here since 4:30.
But he's intimidated by Jack because Jack boxes him out of the singing all the time. We will talk to you tomorrow from Clearwater. The next 2 days, we'll have a bunch of great interviews and the vibes. The vibes from the Tiki Bar tomorrow.
The vibes!
The vibes!
Where's Stubby?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.